What a goal!
The League of Ireland is back.
Every Friday night, it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland.
Make sure you listen to the League of Ireland exclusively on Off the Ball.
Become a member now and join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. It's the end of the National Football League. Like an incredible
semi-finals.
Yes, we still have the finals. But they're kind of like a breakaway island of their own next weekend. And we'll be bridging into the Championship then. But lads, an incredible day of action today. We had 16 games of football. We had 4 games in each division thrown in at the same time. I was at a game in Division 3 between Clare and Offaly. We'll come back to that in a little while. Paddy, I know you were planted on the couch. You were in Omagh last night and you were watching the Tyrone Dublin game today and the Meadloud game. And James, you, amongst other activities today, kept your eye on Kerry and also a little bit of Mayo too, I believe. So
yes.
We were pretty much covered across the board because TG Cahir broadcast 4 games at once from Division 1, 3 on YouTube.
Kudos for TG Cahir. What a performance today.
And 4 from Division 1 a little later, 1 on TV and 3 on YouTube. And then the Clare Offaly game afterwards, the 3rd. Sensational coverage. Mm. And it was deserved, boys, because it was a mad day of action. Paddy, where do you want to start?
Oh, well, what were the big stories? A couple of key takeaways. Derry's abysmal league campaign. That was shocking. Didn't expect them to get anything in the Athletic Rounds against Armagh, but that was a bad beat down. They lost Shane McGuigan to a red card. What a, like, the National League champions this time last year, relegated. Loud, Division 2 was where kind of all the action was. We were hard to call games. You expect them to go down to the wire. It's the Rossies and Monaghan. I texted into the group, lads. Despite all the drama and everything that's happened, the 2 relegated teams from Division 1 have gone straight back up, and the 2 teams promoted from Division 3 have gone straight back down. But it probably doesn't tell the whole story. Loud, despite loads of bodies being down, I thought they were full value today in a scheme. Do you know what? Just between those 2 teams, again, if you look at it on paper, Meath and Loud, there wasn't a lot between them, but Loud were just, it was a more experienced team, a bit more clinical, a bit more street smart than Meade. Meade got a couple of 2-pointers to kind of bring it back to a bit more respectability, but thought Loud were a far better team, and they hang on. So that would have been a bit of a catastrophe for them after the success of last year and all the progress to get relegated back down to Division 3, but they hang on, and it's Westmead and down, going down. So, and then the other story from the week is Leitrim got their team together. They got a bad beating today, but at least the players out on the pitch, which was absolutely fundamental. They had to go and do that at least, which was, you know, it's been a very, very bad week at West for them. But they're kind of the main headlines for me. Is there anything else standing out?
Offaly, yeah, Offaly going
Mayo
back up
in the final.
But Offaly going back up is a massive story.
Mickey Hart
going back in, doing a serious job there as joint manager. But and Clare missing out. And like Clare would be kicking themselves because I think they're probably good enough to go up, and they showed, like, they beat both Offaly and Kildare, but they lost away to Antrim, away to Sligo, which cost them early in the league. They did turn it around.
Teams,
so, but the thing is with Clare,
that could have been relegated today, they lost it.
Yeah,
Sligo and Antrim, and the 2 teams that went up, they bet Kildare and Offaly.
Yeah, which shows they probably
is
do
that just timing it, Jimmy? That they weren't ready to start the league, maybe.
I was looking at the teams they played in the first game and the last game, like, you know, they're very different. Which is the same, it's probably same with everyone, but you just need to get over the line with 1 or 2 results early there. But like for Offaly to get up is unreal. But the other talking about
for Offaly is something going on.
Yeah. The other thing for me is like how tight Division 1 was, fair enough, right? In that Kerry are in the final, they were in the relegation zone earlier in the day. Mayo got to the final, they were in the relegation zone. But at the same time, it was the last day of the league and there still was kind of a friendly vibe about a lot of the games. Like, you know, one side might have wanted a lot more and it really told. I think with football and hurling, both sides have to be like on the verge of complete and utter collapse and carnage and being out of everything to really give us the entertainment factor, right? So both teams have to be in it to win it. Just from watching the Kerry Galway game, like, Galway did not put a hand on Kerry in the first half. And both sides played great football. Kerry played outstanding football. That's 2 weeks in a row now, because they played great against Armagh as well. But Galway played some decent football going the other way. But I mean, like, the intensity was just not there. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes next year, if they change the fixture list or anything. But like,
that'll be interesting.
It just didn't catch fire in Division 1 this year. But the other divisions did.
Can I make one point from just the storylines today, and it might go under the radar, but Stephen Gleeson did an interview with this man on Off the Ball earlier today. He was covering the Division 4 game between Limerick and Galway.
Seen this too. This sensational.
James Nocton, who I flagged over the last couple of weeks as having an unbelievable game, and he's a type of footballer that people who know Limerick football talk about. When Nocton's around, they have an opportunity. He's a classy operator, and hopefully you get to see him next week in Croke Park, because they're now promoted. 4-12, James, he scored today. 4-3 from play. Sensational scoring.
I don't think I've scored that in my career.
But it's outrageous, Paddy, isn't it? Like, you know, and
like I seen the 4-12 out of 4-24. I was like, holy shit. And then 4-3 from play as well. And this, and look, the reaction across, I know Mickey Hart, Declan Kelly were speaking as well afterwards. A couple of the Limerick personnel as well. The league finals next weekend. These teams going up to Croke Park. For the players, for supporters, for coaches, the league finals are a big thing. They need to stay. I know it'll get a lot of coverage this week. It wasn't perfect today, Jimmy, as you said. Maybe Division 1 out of all the divisions is where teams were maybe taking their foot off the gas. I didn't see, to be fair to Dublin and Tyrone was the game I was focusing on earlier. They were fairly flat to the mat, but it's brilliant. It's going to be a brilliant weekend, next weekend, the matches. But for Limerick to score 4-12 in a senior inter-county match, four goals from play. I'd be questioning the defending on the other side that you could let your man score 4-3 from play. But that's incredible shoot. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Tagged on two late goals. He's a classy operator, Nocton. Yeah, go
with Tyrone, right, to go down on 7 points... is very unlucky, because in every interview with every player and manager, they'd be saying, we'll get to six and we'll get safe. They got to six, they weren't safe. They got to seven, they're not safe. And in Division 2, Roscommon went up with 9. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like up with but 9, Jimmy, that's, relegated that's with 7 because, from Division 1. It's mad.
It's because Derry were so bad. Yeah. Derry, you expect Took Derry no will point. Get to maybe 3 or 4 points.
Mm.
1 point. And...
yeah, that's shocking by Derry.
You know, I seen them against Donegal. I probably should have got something from that game for 60, 65 minutes. They were possibly the better team. But then I seen them in Croke Park in person against Dublin. And it was ragball rover stuff. And then the performance today, they lose McGuigan. We know how important he is to them. And that an absolute beatdown they got in the Athletic ground. So they're out in the Ulster Championship, what, 3 weeks' time against Donegal?
No, less, 2.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, if you put a positive Paddy Tally, try and put a positive spin on it, the only way is up. Or
I think they just didn't want to make the final.
I definitely did not want to make the league finals. But they're in a tough spot for that Ulster Championship game now against Donegal. I suppose the pressure's probably off that they won. You know, remember Derry Donegal in the first round last year, the build up to that game, and they were totally ambushed by Jim McGuinness and Donegal. So it's a very, very different circumstances now. But that's, you know, I agree. Toronto, a team gets the 7 points, you think you're 100% you're going to be safe. But because Derry were so bad, Tyrone end up losing out on the head-to-head with Armagh.
It was remarkable. I know McGuigan was sent off in the first half, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but there was a remarkable sequence. Did you see this after halftime?
The goal.
Well, just let me run you through this, right? Armagh's first 4 scores in the second half are goals. Ross McQuillan on 35 minutes and 55 seconds comes off the post, buries it. Barry McCambridge on 37:55, another ball off the post, buries it. Then Conor Turbitt drops a shot short, and I'm not sure. I think it could be Rory Grugan. Does he shoulder Ben McInnes over the line? Ends up being probably an OG. I'm not really giving him that.
100% of the time, that's a free out. Like, you're not supposed to be a goalkeeper. What? I think everyone was in shock at that one. Like, what?
And then,
is there any explanation?
No, I don't know. There was a couple of scores today now that were a bit across the country. So we'll have to hear about that later in the week. But Darren McMullen then buries a fine goal on 41:25. But that was just remarkable. That was in 6 minutes and 25 seconds. They scored 4 goals. So yeah, look at Derry. I know you're saying 1 point. and I'm not making any excuses for them, but I was in Celtic Park early in the league campaign where that Kerry game slipped away from them. Do you know, there's been one or two games where they've, I don't think it's been as bad as minus 44 and 1 point. So,
but I saw that, I watched the Mayo game.
I still think Paddy McFay will be some crack.
I watched the Mayo game and I was like, let's see, are they fighting for their lives? And Conor Glass was almost single-handedly saying, come on, lads, give me a bloody hand here. Like, it's like they're not, I don't know, they're just not on the same page and they're not at that level of intensity where they were at. And there is the argument to be made that they have probably used the same 20 players for the last couple of years and they've just run out of steam.
Tried this year.
You know, there is a bit of that. And then obviously...
Do you think their peak was spring 2024?
Like, they're missing some quality as well. That's like, even McInnes, like, was nearly the beaten heart of that team in terms of he was on the edge. He was cynical and dirty when they needed that, when they needed that kind of an impetus. He'd get a score.
He went over the line the other time.
He did. He does. But look, that's part of it. And even he'd get up for a goal chance or he'd set up a goal. Like, taking that heartbeat out of the team has definitely caught them as well. But I must say I'm disappointed with them. It's going to be very interesting to see, can they get it together very quickly for Ulster?
There's just a couple of worrying signs there. Like, nearly every team had up and down performances off the National League across all the divisions. One week they're very good. There was inconsistency across all teams, but where Derry were bad, they were really, really bad. And it was, like I said, glimpses of what we've seen today, that Dublin defeat, just really worrying things when you're thinking of a serious team, you know, competing in Division One. They're still, but absolutely, they still have some exceptional players. And there's the bones of a team there, absolutely. But they have their work cut out over the next 3 weeks, whatever way they try and frame this and mindset wise and just get something together, because they're going to be completely written off in that Ulster Championship game on the opening weekend against Donegal. But it's what a difference a year makes. You know,
do you know,
the end of the National League last year, they're everyone's favourite for the All-Ireland. So
true. But do you know what they had over the last couple of years was they had a unique identity. They'd bring up Aaron Lynch, whether he was doing well or doing badly, he was coming up and he was dictating. Then their attacks, even if they turned over the ball in defence, was dead slow. They said, we're slowing this down.
Very definitive.
Leave your defenders, get back, we're going to have slow attack. And remember, they used to load the full forward line with bodies, deep, with depth. And it was just, they were doing something slightly different. No, it's like they've kind of just reverted back to what everyone else is doing. It's like they've lost their little bit of something different and they're relying on maybe individual performances which aren't there at the moment. But there's no spark, there's nothing different about them. It's just disappointing to see.
There was a fairly incredible moment in Mayo Donegal and Galway Kerry and happened around the same time where Darrow Boyle stood over a penalty for Donegal. If he scored it, Mayo were going to be relegated, essentially, the way that the scorelines are going. And Conor Reap saves it. It was like a brilliant save by Reap. He probably scuffed it a touch.
Reap didn't have to do a whole pile to save that one.
Went the right way. Yeah. But
Darrow Boyle had an exceptional league campaign, though, most on the record. That little pocket, the right-hand side of the D, he has been loving that.
Yeah, for sure. But it was just... I had the two games, I kind of given up on Armagh Derry and Tyrone Dublin. They felt like done deals at that stage. It wasn't no longer doing the four games because that was a bit more sensory overload. It was tough. And I was just focusing on the two. And I think around the same time, Damian Burke palmed in that goal for Kerry as well. But have we ever seen, I wonder, a team in a league final, just to add to the madness of the league this year, a team topping the table with a negative scoring difference? Mayo scored 133. Conceded 134 across their league campaign. It's remarkable stuff, isn't it?
They may have turned into the league specialists, lads. Could be a second title for them. I don't think anyone would have had at the start of the day a Mayo Kerry National League final.
I was shocked.
Shades of
it is surprising.
Shades of the last time Kerry won the All Ireland. Kerry Mayo in a league final that year.
Remember,
Paul Horan and David Clifford obviously had that interaction.
I thought you were going to say famous battle. I was like, no. That ended up fairly one-sided. But I think the Kerry wanted to win the league all through. But But you see, both managers have been. Jack's interview after the game, he's been a bit upset that maybe there's been some outside noise. He said that, you know, the team has been criticised, they're not playing well or whatever.
Is that you, Jimmy? Is he having a go at you?
You know, I never say
he's
a bad word about our care.
He's having a go at you.
But then same happened with Mayo. McStay was very salty a couple of days, you know, that they were getting
that
a bit of criticism. Everyone gets salty with Tommy. He's too up front.
He's sacking them all off in the winter. You should have heard Peter Keane today. He goes, "Remind me now, who are you?" And I said, "Oh, Tommy Off the Ball. I do a podcast with James O'Donoghue." Couldn't start the interview for a minute. He was just laughing. "Oh, Jesus, you poor man. You speak to James O'Donoghue every week, just dying laughing." You must have drove him bananas. He must have drove you bananas.
That's not true, Tommy. I have it.
We made him with the Legion. He got the gig off the back of us. Tell him that next time. He only got the minors because of us.
I know. Yeah, no. Oh, Jack did say that afterwards. He said that the lads inside, they don't take a whole pile of notice of outside noise. But that outside noise, like around the Kerry camp, you know, there's a fervent support. Same with Mayo, obsessed with football. So there's a lot of chatter, regardless of being in the media, but like amongst fans.
These podcast lads.
Yeah. What's that, Paddy?
All the podcast.
Exactly. Do you know, there's plenty of it, but I just think that can be a big thing as well, that sometimes maybe the noise can be generated within a county as well.
Yeah, but I think the people who do hear it the most are the managers. So when you're playing, you're too worried about yourself, or maybe if you're playing well or what's being said about you, you're not actually hearing like negatively about the team. You're just worried about you're getting yourself right. Whereas the manager, he hears everything, and like if the local radio station go a bit over the top, it'll bug them, or you know, if the press or the local paper or the national papers are on, that'll agitate the situation. And then if there's results going against your way, you can see how you kind of go from calm to pissed off quickly.
Jimmy, they have to do interviews after every match. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're a player, you literally just don't hear any of that. Like, well, you shouldn't. Like, just keep the head down. You're not talking to anyone else. But the managers do, not seven rounds, they have to speak after seven matches. So it's questions are being posed, and we've seen, what was it, just before they made the tweak in the rules, it was a week five, it looked like every manager was having a breakdown. Every one of them was in bad form. But look, it's a very, very hectic period in the season. And at the best of times, it's unbelievably hectic. With the new schedule, championship just around the corner, but you throw in the rule changes, which was always, because they were so drastic in the game, we've seen it over the course of this National League. I think they've been a massive success. Of course, there's been some teething problems, but I think as a whole, the game's in a far better place than it was 12 months ago. But if you're a manager, every one of them, whether the team was winning or struggling, were feeling the heat. So it's understandable. And, you know, teams, you know, there's what, eight teams have look forward to this weekend, get up to Croke Park, hopefully get their hands on a bit of silverware, and then just park that straight away and straight into the championship the following weekend. But you do sympathise with the managers, to be fair, this season more than any of that.
Ah, yeah,
it's a tough gig, and I can see where they can get pissed off the other time.
We'll come back to Clare just before the end of the pod, but even Peter Keane was saying coming in at such short notice, getting the squad together, trying to get the vibe right. Very impressive what he's seen in Clare, but I would say he's taken a lot of positives from this league campaign. Clare still have a great opportunity to get into the Sam Maguire via the Munster route, and then you've got a chance to build again through Division 3 next year when you've got a bit of momentum, you've got a bit of time together. Like that, there's a lot to be said for that as well. So there's still a lot of positives in Clare. Just lingering around Division 1 for another minute or two, like, Jim McGuinness makes four substitutions at half time today. Like, Donegal went for that game today. I mentioned Darrow Boyle, his penalty being missed. Hugh McFadden breaks forward a couple of minutes later and rattles the crossbar. Like, easily could have been a goal there. Again, that would have relegated Mayo and sent Donegal into a league final at that stage. So, like, the margins are so fine. Mayo and Limerick, of the eight league finalists next weekend, we've got Wexford against Limerick. Wexford again continuing their 100%
record. The only team, isn't it, in all four divisions?
Phenomenal stuff. I'm looking forward to catching up with John Hegarty next week in Croke Park. Phenomenal stuff. But Wexford, Limerick and Mayo are all in action in provincial championship the week after. So we've got Wexford and Limerick in the Division 4 final. Kildare and Offaly in the Division 3 final. They have a week break before they play in the Leinster Championship. Then we've got Roscommon and Monaghan in the Division 2 final. How the Rossies ended up there, I don't know. There was so much chaos and carnage at the end of Division 2 games today. And then in the Division 1 final, as we mentioned, Mayo and Kerry. And Mayo are out against Sligo the following Sunday. So
I'll be there. I'll be at it.
The championship fixtures are New York. Oh, you're there. Lovely. New York, Galway, yeah. London, Roscommon, Sligo, Mayo and Connacht. That's the weekend of the 5th and 6th of April. We've got two in Munster. We've got Waterford, Tipperary and Limerick in a league final up against Cork. In Ulster, as we've mentioned already, the marquee game, Donegal against Derry on the 6th and Ballybuffet. I'll be at that for Off the Ball. And I'm missing something here. Am I missing Leinster? Carlow against Meath, Wexford against Leash and Wicklow against Longford. So they're the championship games.
Wexford-Leash. It's a spicy game, that.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really nice matchups there. Okay, right. Take a little bit of a breather there on the football pod. It's brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. They had their awards night, the Club Championship Awards night on Friday night. And of all the bits and pieces that come out, Conor Callaghan won Club
Thank
Football
you. Here.
Paddy, you called that. It early
my
doors.
First, my only right prediction from the weekend.
Yeah, we might come back to that in the members' pilot. So I think I've an unassailable lead now at this stage. James, you might be able to catch me.
We're still at the finals. There's still four games left.
Yeah. So, Paddy,
double
just talk
points
to us,
for finals.
Talk to us. Actually, we'll take a wee break here in the football pod. And when we come back, I want to hear what you made of Meath and Louth, what you made of Dublin Tyrone. And James, we'll get a little bit on Kerry Galway as well before the league final this weekend. So we're back right after this on the football pod. You're very welcome back to the football pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We're reflecting on a fairly remarkable weekend of Gaelic football. I'm not sure if you're keeping an eye on Zone Rua, the GAA league tables, had this live stream going with, like, I think he had 160,000 people checking out the Twitter live stream today. Jeez. Like checking out the league tables. They kept them updated throughout the day. Remarkable service. Just like TG Carr and all the other bits and pieces of coverage across the day today. We had our own Red Zone on Off the Ball. We had reporters across the country. RTE would have done the same. TG Carr, of course, with all the coverage. So lots of good stuff today. And obviously, interesting talking points from the weekend too. Paddy, Tyrone, as we mentioned earlier, are relegated on 7 points. Mm-hmm. I think it was head-to-head with Armagh, which eventually went against them. Maybe you could point to the free late on, the three up reach that Shane Walsh converted in their draw when they were ahead.
Oh, again, yeah. There'll be moments like that when it's that tight, like, yeah.
Yeah, in every game. But they were impressive today. I caught a few clips. I saw the goal, the Canavan goal in the first half. How much of this was to do with Tyrone revving it and doing the job, and maybe Dublin, again, taking the foot off the gas a little bit and maybe making changes to their team and giving boys a chance?
I don't think Dublin were taking their foot off the gas. I think they were bad, but I think it was the performance. Tyrone were quite good. Dublin were not good. I wouldn't say it was anything taking foot off the gas or anything like that. From Tyrone's side of things, McCurry was man of the match. I thought he was exceptional. But again, he was probably allowed to be. Derek Hanavan, you can see he's starting to click into gear. Again, still probably little bits of rust, maybe a couple of little bits of sloppy play, but he's such an exceptional player. He still finished with whatever, 1-4, 1-3 or 1-4 from play. Brian Kennedy dominated at midfield. That is going to be a problem from Dublin's perspective. You feel that, but Brian Kennedy is one of the best midfielders in the country. And Tyrone were full value for it. So they've been, like most teams, they've been a little bit up and down. Malik O'Rourke has gone in. We know he's an exceptional coach. We know there's still three or four brilliant players in that Tyrone team. It's just, can they find a way where maybe their weaker parts are a bit more protected? But that was a really strong finish to the league for them. Again, similar to what Meath did in Enniskeen earlier on. Dublin get a couple of two-pointers towards the end of the second half to put a bit more gloss on it.
But for Tyrone,
Tyrone, they're really set forward play up front. They targeted Dublin's weaknesses, and with McCurry and Derek Canavan on form, Rory Canavan came off the bench, clipped a couple of scores towards the end of the game as well. They'll be a dangerous team in Ulster. I don't know if I wouldn't have them as favourites for the Ulster Championship, but I feel like they're a team that are going to keep getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. It's not a Tyrone team of years gone by. I don't see them in an All-Ireland race, but there are some positive signs, and they've got a great coach. So,
yeah,
they were full value today. Dublin on the other side.
Nothing to go out there and absolutely, I don't know, maybe it's not do or die, but
I think defensively, I know you've said it so many times, Jimmy, I think the loss of Small and Fitzsimons there, there's just a bit of a naivety. I don't know if that's a harsh word, but that's what it's playing like. You know, young Conor Tyrrell's had a great league campaign. He's going to get better. You know, look at Michael McKiernan's goal. It's too easy play.
Too easy.
Yeah, you go and you don't go. He stays with his own man instead of passing on the runner. Look, the positive, that's who you learn. You know, that mistake won't happen again. I'm sure by the time he's on the bus leaving Healy Park, the coaches are going through the window and go, this is what you need to do there. So Dublin are going to have that challenge with younger players coming in. We've seen today some guys may just struggling with that side of things. Midfield, we know. You take out Fenton and McCarthy, it's going to be a big challenge for Dublin. You can see that. And the worrying thing from today is the shape up front seemed to be quite bad.
Okay.
And the decision making and the execution was also not great.
What do you mean by bad in shape? What do you mean by that?
Wrong options. Not taking shots on when shots are on. Trying to force two-pointers when, okay, the two-pointer is great, but you still have fucking shooters and people taking on shots that shouldn't be taking on shots. And we've seen that, you remember the second half against Armagh as well, where Dublin kind of get on top and they're chasing the game and their shooting efficiency is just way down. And I get it. That can happen. We've loads of new faces in that team and maybe not that as much experience, and those decision-making and taking the right options and being really sharp and clinical, that comes with experience. I'm conscious, I'm kind of thinking of my own team, which is not fair to judge some of these newer players coming in, but I just seen these signs in the Armagh game as well. Really sloppy up front, skill execution and decision-making, and you just can't, particularly when you're chasing the game. And those are the two ones that stand out, probably the worst two performances up in the Athletic grounds against Armagh and today. Just things, areas to work on in defence, absolutely. Middle third, we know that's going to be a challenge. And then if up front doesn't click, if it's not Khan and Bugler kind of shooting the lights out, then you're worrying. You know, that's just... So yeah, Dublin, an up and down campaign. I think Desi Ferrer would still take it. You know, that they're safe. They got four wins. At times in Croke Park, the games in Croke Park, I thought they were exceptional at times, which is the real plus, because most of the business end of the championship is going to be played in Croke Park. But I thought today was just a couple of red lights going off there. And I wouldn't just put it all down to saying, well, they didn't need to win the game. But in saying that, Tyrone took full advantage.
I could see in the Dublin-Galway game, that Dublin defensively were struggling. I think you had said it the week before, and then Comer...
Yeah, there were signs from even the Derry match, they won't come to be like.
Comer exposed a few problems, but it is a really difficult time to be a cornerback. You've gone from years of protection, and now it's like sink or swim. And there's been loads of those instances where a fella has stuck on his own man, rather than go with the fellow with the ball or maybe track the runner, because there's so much space. You're like, who do I go after here? There's a lot of learning in it.
But Jim, that's what I'm saying. Of all the years, Small and Fitzsimons, your centre-back and your full-back,
yeah,
they were always going to be lost. But with this, it just feels like that could come back to bite Dublin.
And I'm going to come to this when we get to Meath. Is it not more of a soft centre? And I know that's
a blanket term for poor defensively. I think that, really? I do. I think that every time a team isn't a unit defensively, by meaning wing forwards coming back, midfielders being in the right positions, the centre back kind of gets the brunt of the blame, which is I think sometimes unfair. But from some of the games I've seen Dublin, and I'd actually say the Galway were the exact same today. The full back line players were too far off their men. And because that ball being won by a full forward line player, it should be really earned. Like, as in, you should, it should be a golden possession to collect the ball inside the full forward. And you should be, have to be clever, you should have to be strong, you should have to be quick, you should have to be loads of good things to be able to win the ball. But if you're handing a full forward line player an easy possession, you're seriously asking for trouble. And there was one score that was actually an unbelievable score by Tyrone today, where McCurry hit Canavan for his goal.
Canavan's goal.
It was, it was unbelievable. But
brilliant pass.
It was a great pass, but the separation. I mean, 15 yards off from the goal. I was like, you know, get hands on someone like Canavan in that situation. And it was the same in the Kerry Dublin game. So I think the teams haven't figured that out yet. And I just think that you have to earn that possession in the full forward or make your man earn the ball rather than just let him have an easy possession.
But you know what it says to me, right? And this is no way, I'm not being disrespectful here, right? Darren McCurry gets man of the match, right? He's an unbelievably accurate player if you give him space. And look at all of his scores. And he was at a field day today. He's not the type of forward that wins those balls you're talking about, Jimmy. You know, a Damien Comer type ball where he comes out. Derek Hanifin, even though Derek Hanifin's small, he wins those balls, nearly the famous clips of his dad, and he's three lads on him, he tumbles and gets up. McCurry doesn't win those balls. It's never been his game. He's been a guy who plays, he's smart, gets around the edges, on the loop, and he's unbelievably accurate. For him to get man of the match, that's bad defending. That's a guy who's getting too much space. And if he gets hot, he can have a game like that. We've seen it. And if I'm in the defence there, I need to be absolutely all over Darren McCurry. Because if I am, I can really nullify him. You could be all over Canavan, it can still cause you serious problems. That's why Canavan's, you know, a level up. McCurry's a brilliant player, but Canavan, Khan, Clifford, these guys are at the absolute peak. But that was just a symptom again. I'm going, he's getting balls out the back door and just clipping them over for 2 points. It's just too easy. It was too easy. And that, the level, whether Dublin like it or not, and younger players coming into the team, they are, the standard is the expectations to win All-Ireland. And that's the goal within the team, 100%. Is can we win the All-Ireland? And if you're playing and defending like that, you are not going to get away with it in All-Ireland quarterfinal, semi-final, final. You can't. You have to be harder to play against. You need to be tougher to score against. And I thought, through the league, Dublin have positives, and we expected the National League was going to be up and down because of the changes in personnel. And there's been positives, no doubt about it. And they will get better, as all the teams will. But there was instances in nearly every game, even in the games they won, where it's like, that needs to be tightened up on seriously. And I thought today, when you play against the quality of forwards that the way McCurry and Canavan linked up, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be punished. And there was just a lot of scores today. The Canavan goal, it's brilliantly executed by Tyrone, but it's too, you said it, Jimmy, it just doesn't look right. Hmm. It's too easy. And you're talking about winning the All-Ireland. That ain't going to cut it. No chance.
Yeah, we'll come back to that again. And I mentioned Meade and Loud there in that same vein as well, where I've kind of seen Meade being beaten a lot in midfield around the middle third ever since Roman Jones left that team. Did that happen again today, Paddy, in that game?
I can't look, Tommy Durden's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
Durden and Matthews were, and Jack Flynn's a big guy for Meade as well, and you'd spoken about it, Tommy, did the size and the physique Meade have around the team. I thought it was slightly different in the Meade Loud game.
They're missing something.
There was a big wind, obviously, and as there was in Alma, Loud just used it far more efficiently. And it was just the team. Loud were just more street smart. And this is without loads of injuries for Loud, missing Sam Mulroy. They were really clinical. Now, saying that, Billy Hogan does make a couple of saves. You know, Loud could have been further ahead at half time than the 11 points they were up. But they were just clinical. Downey, he was back. We know how important he is, kind of linking the play. And Matthews and Tommy Durden at midfield just got on top.
It's brilliant in cornerback as well.
It gave a platform for Loud, and they were just a bit more clinical. It was Meade, a lot of huff and puff. The second half really told for me. There was a big wind, and Meade, Ryan Burns had five free kicks from the 14-yard line in the second half. And it made it played into that breeze and seeing how difficult it is to score against that wind, tough conditions, and Meade sloppy fouls, not immature, inexperienced fouls. a couple of them are new rules, but just bad tackles. Then they start getting ratty with the ref. Fraser brought up. And in a game like that, it was their easy scores for Loud. Ryan Burns couldn't believe his luck. Another free from the 13, clip it over. And then Meade got into this habit, taking crazy shots from two-pointers, trying to chase the game. And do Meade have the type of players? And they're not the only team guilty of this. But I just thought it was a team who Meade are at the very start of their journey under Robbie Brennan. And again, no more so than Dublin, there's been positives in the National League for them. But I thought today it was a team who were just a bit more clinical, a bit more street smart, and it showed.
And credit to Loud. Loud have had that inherently over the last couple of years. Yeah. This is not the
same Loud progress.
But it's not the same Loud team that lost an All-Ireland quarterfinal to Donegal last year. They're missing, as you said, so many players. But I just think it's in the group.
Incredible from them to do that, because we know they do not have a playing pool that is massive.
Why did he not start Mulroy?
He was injured.
He was on the bench.
No. I don't think so. I think
the seven or eight injuries. I was talking to the manager last night. He was my teammate last night.
I had heard word during the week. We'll come back to that. So, Paddy, James, you're going to have to forgive me on the time. I'm going to have to do another couple of minutes here. I know you're keen to get a look at that Ireland game before it ends, but
we've just scored, lads.
Have we just scored? Yeah. We're doing it live.
Was it Parrot? At
9 o'clock this evening. No. Big F.
Was it?
Get in, Ferguson.
Oh,
Meade man.
Ah, up the Royal.
Is he good, Ferguson? I mean, we had him as best striker in Europe there for the first 6 months of his career.
Yeah, just behind him.
Give you a chance.
I was watching the matches.
Look at Chris Ward.
That's the lads were walking out behind me. I was there on my little iPad watching the GAA, and Big Ev marking out behind me after the Aviva.
Is he a big unit? Big man.
Yeah. He'd do a job. There's a man around midfield there now for the Royals. And Jack Flynn.
And Conor Nash. Get Nash
He'll
back.
He'll be free for the summer anyway. I'm not gonna
linger long on Meade here, but what I would say is that before the league started, new management team in, how bad last year went, there was a lot of talk that Meade were going straight down, and that was a guarantee by a lot of people. I've seen the same positives and the same frailties throughout the league campaign for Meade, and it's not a softness around the break, but it's a lack of aggression around breaking ball, Paddy. And I think that was evident again today at times in the first half, and then late on when they were chasing the game, they got on top, they wrestled back momentum, but they're kind of losing that momentum early doors. The other thing is they had 36 shots today and they scored 13 times. That's a 36% conversion rate.
Conditions were tough, and I get sloppy.
Loud had 20 shots and they converted 15. 75% to 36. Yeah. And actually, if you flip the script and you look to Division 3 today, Clare had 40 shots today. 40 shots, and they scored 16 times. Sorry, they even scored less than that. Oh, no, they scored 16 times, actually.
I always say, you're only as good as your conversion rate.
You can be doing absolutely everything.
If you kick the fucking thing wide, there's no point in doing anything else.
There you go. Yeah.
Clubs were bad second half for it as well. Mm. Lads, this is a trend. Teams are chasing those two-pointers.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, and they want to get practicing, because I've seen loads of teams guilty of this. Okay, they're behind. I think the two-pointer has been an absolute revelation in terms of excitement. No team is really out of the game if you get on a run. But we are seeing some wild misses across all the divisions and all the teams. And Meade today, Dublin today, those two games, they're a bit more clinical. It could be a different result. Literally, there's that big a swing in it. Mm. Three or four of them in a row and you're in business. And are the best players taking the shots, or are they practicing rough? I don't know. But
do you know what's another trend that's going at the moment is the short kick-off. Well, I think the teams have held it. Over the last 2 weeks, I've seen even the physically bigger teams be under serious pressure in their own kick-up going along. And they've reverted to short kick-ups. Now, it's a lot of work to get free, but that seems to be back in. I know that the whole idea of the rule was so it goes long, but like the amount of ball that's up for grabs isn't sustainable. I think teams, if we come the summer, I reckon there'll be a lot of short kick-outs, a lot of clever plans going on. Because today, I'll go back to the Kerry Galway game again, by the end of the game, there were so many short kickouts, right? That both teams pressed four into the full forward line to press the opposition kickout to stop the ball going off. Because even with three, they were able to create a space somewhere or a weak gap in the chain, and get out. So they're actually putting four up. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
this is good, Jimmy. Teams will figure it out and create even more space.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, true.
Teams
true.
Aren't going to give it away now in feckin' March. So
exactly, yeah.
So, like, what are we going to see that Derry Donegal game first weekend of the championship? There'll be some crafty stuff going on there, lads.
There has to be. There has to be.
It's going to be great stuff.
Two goalie jerseys apiece.
I think
Murphy will be in goal for Donegal.
I think you're right, Paddy, about the two pointers. I think there's going to be a lot of lads looking back in the video reviews this week, and you know,
it's going to be tough for some people.
Are you speaking from personal experiences, Tommy? Yeah.
could have been guilty of that.
I had two shots
Saturday
last night, and they were well inside the 2-point arc, and I still fucking missed.
Tell us, Paddy, about the Gales against Genocide game on Saturday night. You were playing to raise a bit of funds for Gaza. It was Tyrone 2011.
We did. We raised some big funds, which was great. So.
Peter Ganavan managed the Dubs. Pat Gilroy
managed the Dubs. Peter Ganavan was with us, so that was a great honour.
You captained the Dubs. How did this come about?
I don't know. Peter Ganavan said it. And whatever Peter Ganavan says goes. Wow. So, it was good. We were up in Alma last night. It was good to catch up with a lot of old teammates. Dermot Connolly, Owen O'Gara, and these guys were playing. Conditions weren't great. Wasn't too appealing. Sheets of rain coming in over Healy Park. As I was saying beforehand, it was my first match in 4 years, so I wasn't expecting much. But I went out for a warm-up, lads, and I realised I'm actually blind. so I was just standing there. I literally haven't kicked the ball since, June 21. And my eyesight has clearly gotten worse since then.
And what were you like when you were playing?
I was all right. I never wore contacts when I was playing. So obviously I've gotten way worse in the last couple of years. Gosh. But we're literally just kicking the ball around. And I was like, I actually can't fucking see this thing coming towards me. So I thought my back and my hips and everything else would be a problem. But my actual vision wasn't great. So
I thought the bike or ski would prepare you for that sort of intensity.
And I jogged inside and fucking Conor Gormley comes over to start marking. I was like, I don't need this. It's a charity game. Jesus Christ.
What age is Gormley now?
Older than me, eh? I don't know. It was great. There was good crack around. The Tyrone lads were great. Tyrone had probably a bit more stacked team than we 44. Had. You know, Stevie O'Neill. Muggsy actually was playing with us. Muggsy was playing with the Dubs. And Ryan McQuillan was playing with the Dubs as well, so it was great. It was a great night for a great cause. Obviously, lots of money raised, so fair play to everyone involved on the Tyrone side. And Pat Gilroy was a big driver over for Dublin. So, like I say, two shots, two misses.
what was the score?
Leaving Healy Park.
Nil all, straight extra time. Penalties.
I was hoping for penalties. Who stood out? Stevie O'Neill still has a bit of class. Dermot was playing centre forward for us. Could probably still do a job with the senior team. But you know, in those games, lads, there's no passing. No one passes. If you get the ball in the forwards, fucking pulling the trigger here, no matter what.
Did you try any of the Paddy Andrews specials right from the right?
Open the hips. On my left foot from there for some reason. I think my groin went further than the ball went. So it's very sore today.
Not easy, Paddy.
Did you have the bends? Did you have the bends out in the dressing room, doing a few crab walks or what? did you revert back to type?
I had no gum shield. Gear bag still. There was an All Ireland final jersey in my gear bag.
No way.
2020. So that's the last time I opened it. I was wearing a pair of Nike Mercurial Vapors.
Blue. Beautiful.
I was questionably getting away with them 4 years ago. Definitely getting away with them now. I had no gloves. I had no jacket for a warm up. I had no gear anymore, lads. So was I prepared? No. It was poor preparation. But the vision thing was the real. It was a real eye opener, no pun intended.
Hmm. There you go.
I was afraid the ball was going to hit me in the face. Conor Gormley's coming in to fucking clothesline you from behind as well. So, the things you do for charity, lads.
Fair play, Paddy.
It was great to be out there and great to see some truly legendary players. Obviously, Stevie O'Neill, Muggsy, Peter Callaghan, yeah. Legends.
What jersey did you have in the bag from the All-Ireland? Is it your jersey?
It was a number 26 jersey from the
Dublin jersey.
20, yeah. I actually have. Do you know what I have, lads? And we can raffle it off. I have my jersey from last night.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Gales for Gaza, number 13. So nice. We might throw an old raffle over. It's nice gear, actually. Yeah, lovely top. Yeah,
it's lovely.
So we can give that one away.
Yeah, we'd have a couple of road shows coming up. We maybe could do it at one of them tonight.
You're the man for that. So it's now your jersey. So you see it gets somewhere good.
We'll try and work on that. A couple of comments have come in just before we wrap up here. Rorty has said, never mind today's games. How did Paddy get on up and thrown? There you go. You have it.
I got
another comment from someone else saying, can we get James' thoughts on Paddy wearing gloves on a dry night? So somebody got that one.
Well, for the last night, in fairness, it was a storm.
Just last night?
It was a storm.
Fucking hurricane.
Yeah, we'll give you that one.
Only Dermot has said,
he's hoping for a lovely late spring evening now. The weather was good during the week, but I was driving up into Alma and it was like literally sideways coming there. I was like, I don't need this.
Do you know what you should have worn? It was those green. They're not Macassar. The Macassar were the black with the yellow dots.
Oh, yellow, I like the pair of Macassar.
What were the green ones? They were just
the green goalies.
The green goalie gloves. Oh, they were sick.
Oh, yeah.
Gardner gloves.
Yeah.
Or the Kieran Whelan.
Yes. They're worse than any glove. Goalkeeper's gloves off field.
Last ever
the
match.
Ultimate.
Last.
An insult to football.
Sean Burke has said, the baggies of the pod are back in the top flight. So, Paddy, you'll be happy with that.
Got there boing, in the
boing.
End.
Boing, boing, Roscommon. Dermot says, Jimmy and Joycer's plans have worked out for them. I'm not sure. Like, maybe they have. Maybe they'll be happy enough. I don't know.
I think Jim McGuinness is going to be very happy how the league has went for Donegal.
Peter Joyce said it.
For 2 weeks' time.
Peter Joyce has said his poor Joyce underachieving with this Galway panel. I don't think you could say that.
Hey, come back to me in 3 months' time.
That's
I think
the one.
Galway are well placed.
Yeah, two All-Ireland finals. I think after this season we can have a conversation about that. Kevin Ford has said, has there ever been a final day in Division 1 like today? From the top of my head, I don't think so. Now, I don't know, did the drama go as much as it could have gone, but there was definitely a bit of drama.
The fact that Derry were already down.
Was there drama after? It was like, who's going to turn around to this the most?
Essentially.
No.
Who gives less of a fuck?
And maybe that rolls into Fergus's comments, and I think this is directed at me. It's a thoughts or question for the pod. Thoughts, you overhype everything. Maybe I get a bit excited. Maybe I do.
Oh, Tommy,
maybe I get a bit excited.
Is this Meade related or just in general?
I don't know. I think I may have said it was a great day of Gaelic football.
It
was a good day. I have a question, a pod question.
What's your favourite cheese?
Who's your favourite colour? Who was favourites for the All Ireland after what we've seen so far?
Honestly, I've never been so unsure.
Based on that, we've seen seven rounds, seven games. Who is, as of now, if we were here last year, we were all going, Derry looks strong.
Paddy, I know your eyesight is bad, but I'm not sure any of us can trust our eyes with what we've seen in this league campaign so far.
Mm.
What you've seen to date, who do you think is best placed to win the All-Ireland? Come on, kid, that's a
fucking question. I've threw the power rankings Tuesday, right?
I don't know how, but the power rankings.
This is for the pod,
I still have.
Listen to those power rankings, Tommy.
I still have. A lot of work goes into them.
The pod listeners want to know.
I still have Donegal and Galway up there.
Nothing is, and you had that at the start of the year. Nothing you've seen. Yeah. So the last 3 months, as Jimmy says, they may as well have thrown their arse at it. It's still Donegal.
Yeah. I still have those two up there. Yeah. I haven't seen enough from Kerry.
Who are you writing off? Is there someone you're going, they might have been in a potential?
I would have, before the league started, I would have given Derry and Tyrone a chance. I heard your case for Tyrone a little earlier.
I don't think Tyrone win the All-Ireland.
I don't think so either.
I think the route through Ulster, they got Cavan the first day out. We didn't even get mentioned Cavan today, lads.
They won't win the All-Ireland. They can take out a top team, but they won't win. Cavan
could have had promotion. the final one, Cavan could have had promotion in their hands while you're thinking, James, today. I'm not sure that they copped the tweak to the Hooter rule because Darragh McVitie was breaking forwards. They were 2 points down. I think a draw would have got them promoted. He took a shot from a more difficult angle than he could have. He may have seen the
Cavan nearly got promoted over Hooter.
If they had scored their last chance and the Hooter goes and it's game over, if he had held on to the ball to play the last play after the Hooter, like Westmead did, they got the final shot of the Hooter and Kieran Martin sent over a whopper of a two-pointer to level the game against the Rossies. So, still doing it. So, lads, yeah. James, go on. Give Paddy your answer there and we can watch the end of this.
I'll just see who we can roll out. If Armagh don't have Rian, I think they're going to be up against it. If Derry, I don't.
But Jimmy, would you have had Armagh in it at the start?
I would.
You said it before the league.
Maybe not before the league, but during the league, I've seen. I think they're still very strong. They're still very strong, and they're a good. They're a good unit. But without him, I think they're missing that X factor. Tyrone, I don't see. Derry, I don't see. Mayo, I don't see. And Dublin, hanging in there, in my top four. I put them fourth. I got Donegal, Galway, Kerry, then Dublin.
But are you three genuine contenders? You would have had them at the start of the league, really. Nothing's changed there. Donegal have probably been even a bit better than I thought they would be. And I think Galway have been very impressive. Wasn't sure on Galway. Keane O'Neill gone in the background. Age profile of key players and losing two finals in 3 years. So have they got the edge to bounce back, or was that one blow? Have they reached their peak or not? And I've been very impressed with them.
I just wonder, do Galway have like the out-and-out markers for this summer? Do you know, for the rules, for the openness?
I like McGrath back there. If Kelly can, Jesus Christ, just stay fit for a one championship campaign, he can do a job on someone out in the half-forward line as well. Like,
yeah.
This physique they have, physique and athleticism they have around the middle. If they get a run of injuries, a good run where there's no one injured, I'd have them as number one.
Yeah. Finnerty Comer.
They need to find Kerry get that kicking game going. As we've seen over the last two weekends. I've always had a bit of a question mark around Kerry, the middle third. I said it last season, said it again this season, but if they get that kind of forward cohesion going outside of just the cliff, and we're seeing glimpses of it today and again in the Armagh game a couple of weeks ago, and I think we'll see more of it in Croke Park the next weekend against Mayo, they've got a great chance. And then Donegal are going to be right there. I'd agree with those three, but I've thought Donegal would be good, but I think Kerry and Galway have been gone up a notch as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Do you boys want to take the power rankings off my hands?
Well, who's bottom? To give me this, are Leitrim bottom of the power rankings now?
No, but they might be after the last few weekends.
It won't be far off. It's been a tough week over there. Some shambolic stuff. But anyway.
Is there anyone from Division 2 in the top 8 of your rankings?
Not top yet. Eight. It's revealed.
What's the story with the Rossies?
I don't know.
Davey Burke giving out about them. Like they're in the league final. I would have had them as the best. The way they even started the league, I'd have had them as the best team in Division 2. But I just, you've seen more of them recently, the last couple of games, Tommy, is it?
Yeah. Look at I think a lot of counties are the same. You can see holes in a lot of teams. You can see issues in a lot of teams.
Up and down performances.
You know, if a team takes the eye off the ball, it's a fairly hectic league campaign. And with the games being cancelled, a couple of teams have been 5 weekends in a row. Others maybe were in a really good position. Look at Kildare, really good position early on, tailed off a little bit. They were down by 5 points at halftime today to Antrim, who ended up getting relegated. So, I love the league. I just think, you know, with the year that's in it, with no preseason comps, with new rules, there's holes in every team. And as James said, and you've said as well, Paddy, over the last couple of weekends, there's opportunities there for a lot of sides to come out and do something this year. But we'll see it.
Isn't it tight?
I'd say the Rossies are probably worried about their own side, but I think they can turn that around. Hopefully they can anyway. I wonder, was it just a couple of...
There's good finals this weekend.
Good games, four finals.
That's actually a big game for Kildare now.
Yeah, they're going to be...
Awfully picked up a couple of weeks ago, but to win in Croke Park, get a trophy, and out of Westmead and Leinster Championship, soon after that, but I think that's an important game for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to recap, the 14 or the 8 teams relegated from Division 1, Derry and Tyrone are down to Division 2 for next year. From Division 2, Westmeath and Down are back to Division 3. From Division 3, Antrim have joined Leitrim and they've slid back to Division 4. And the promoted teams are Wexford and Limerick, who'll meet in the league final this Saturday. Offaly and Kildare, who'll meet in the league final on Sunday as well. We'll talk about Offaly a bit more next week. Didn't get a huge chance to talk about them today. Caught up with Mickey Hart and Declan Kelly after the game, and their goalkeeper Paddy Dunnigan again, who was on the Football Pod 15. Very
Paddy joining the pod, is he?
He could do, yeah, he could do. But you know, it's no harm when the lads have been on before. You can grab him for a minute.
Is that the Division 3 final is Saturday? 3 and 4 or Saturday, one or two or Sunday.
Unless there's a change early in the week, that's the way it'll be. Division 3 and 4 Saturday, Division 1 and 2 on Sunday.
As normal, Yeah,
there might be a change. There might be a request, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
2-1 Ireland, lads.
And Division 1 then. So, Paddy, Andrew, James, only we're catching up again later in the week for our members pod. We'll be previewing the four league finals. We'll be chatting through a few other bits in the weekend. We might have another Football Pod 15 interview. Enjoy today. Thanks for getting it done on Sunday evening. I'm going to get this pod edited and up. Thanks for joining us and for everybody tuning in at home. Thank you very much, as always. We've got a big weekend to follow with the four league finals, and then we're into the championship. It's back.
Woo!
Buzzer.
On earth.
Thanks, boys. Talk to you during the week.
Cheers, boys.
Night, lads.